Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere, everywhere, even places most talk shows wouldn't dare to. In fact, no talk show would dare to go. We go there. Now, one place that I'm sure other talk shows would dare to go if they could, but they, frankly, I don't think they have the apparatus. And if you'll pardon the expression apparatus after talking about Ted Bell's award-winning meat, we do want to give away this hour, and we've been talking about it all month long. We're going to finally announce the winner of the backstage pass for the month of February. And I had the name, and now I got to go back into the account here, bud. Why didn't you have that for me?
Well, you said you thought it was the name of a philosopher.
Philosopher? I thought it was... No, it's the real guy's name. I believe his name is Cervantes, right? And he's a Twitter man. Here it is. The winner... the contest winner of our free backstage pass for the month of February is Isaac Cervantes.
Hey. Why did I always give it to a Mexican?
Why don't you shut up with that, okay?
But if you gave it to a black guy,
you wouldn't know to give it to a black guy.
Yeah, he would. His name is like Bill Jefferson.
All right, easy. God, man. What a rotten thing to say, Robert.
What? Yeah, the first guy giving away a prize, you go, oh, you're going to be making it. And go, you got to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, give it a rest, man. I'm going, all of a sudden, well, how come you give it a Mexican? Get out of here, man. We're not picking the names for that. It's a random drawing, you knucklehead. All right, so anyway, Isaac Cervantes, congratulations. You are the winner of a free backstage pass for the month of February. And this is the first day of February. It's Black History Month. It's also Phil History Month, so we're going to intertwine the two. Not that I'm trying to ride to glory on the backs of thousands, if not millions, of African Americans who've come and done a profoundly wonderful job before me, but yes, I think I will.
Yeah.
Take it easy, okay? Well, no, it's just a kind of a, it's a little marketing gimmick. Okay. Welcome to, the final hour of our program here, and last evening we were not on the air because we have, the next couple of weeks I've got a couple of other things that are going on in terms of the television world, but for those of you, and I've already mentioned it to my backstage pass holders, and I did kind of let it out on Twitter, but we're going to be appearing on an episode, if not two, of New Girl on Fox.
Hey!
Thank you. So, man, that I consider myself one lucky sucker. Modern Family and New Girl, two big hit shows, and I've landed gigs on both of them.
Yeah, now you can get on Red Eye.
Yeah, if I could get back on Red Eye, now I'm doing good, man. Also, the Super Bowl will be featuring a Matthew Broderick Ferris Bueller ad for Honda. Has great, obviously there's a great... buzz value or hot topic value because so many people who came of age in the 80s saw this movie. Expectations were high for Matthew Broderick's surprise reprisal of Ferris Bueller after a 10-second teaser for what turned out to be a Honda ad was released last week. Maybe a little too high. This is from the, I think it's a Washington Post Entertainment celebrity column. Written by Susie Jackball. I don't know who the hell this is.
It's Sarah Ann Hughes.
Yeah. Let me get Susie Jackball out of there.
I don't know. Sarah Ann Hughes, Susie Jackball. I'm sorry. So she said, maybe a little too high. Broderick isn't actually playing Bueller in the 2.5-minute commercial for the Honda CR-V, which was released online today and will air during the Super Bowl. He's simply behaving like the hockey-playing pro. Or by the hooky playing pro, by faking an illness and taking off a day from shooting a movie. Sadly, that means there's no appearance by any other Ferris Bueller alums, such as Alan Ruck or Mia Sara. And the advertising for the car, while clearly necessary, is just clunky. Well, we don't have audio, but we were playing a little bit of the video for folks a moment ago, and we'll do it again. If people are so interested, you can. If you're watching us here online on Phil TV and HD, all right.
Yeah, I'll see you.
Anyway, this is quite a, and you know, with the Super Bowl coming up, we are going to have to deal with this, whether you like it or not, and that is the new ads. Now, why do I say deal with this? I have gotten, because I work in the media like anybody in radio does, and I have to pay attention to the media probably a lot closer than you guys. And I like that. There's a shot there of Matthew Broderick wearing a towel on his head. He almost looked like someone's girlfriend.
Boy, that's dirty pool.
Anyway, the thing that bugs me more than anything else, man, is I'm having to get excited about ads for the Super Bowl that are no longer interesting to me. And I've noticed this the last year or so. I noticed maybe the last 2 years that, and look at, man, I believe me when I tell you, I know how hard it is to hit it out of the park, to try to be funny, to try to do something different, to try to this, that, and something else. But I really believe that advertising has reached the saturation point, man.
Like what?
I just think the TV ads have reached the saturation point of enough with the jokes. Everything is a laugh now. I mean, when are they going to sell a product and stop with the jokes?
Well, I mean, they're funny.
No, they're not funny. That's what the point. I'm trying to tell you.
You just went boo-boo-boo-boo.
Never mind.
Oh, come on, man. Just make it.
No, never mind. Forget it.
Yeah, but you did. You went boo-boo-boo-boo.
I didn't go boo-boo-boo-boo.
Come on.
I'm just saying, man. Every ad, every TV commercial has got to be jokes. It ain't working anymore. I'm telling you, it's not. I am now telling you that the funny TV commercial has, forget about jumping the shark, it's hit a brick wall, and it is in flames. And somebody's been thrown through the windshield. The ad agency, I think. So, get back to selling stuff. You know, and this coming Sunday, every single solitary ad, every single solitary ad come this Sunday on the Super Bowl will be doing some kind of shtick. You know?
Well, all the Super Bowl ads been doing shtick.
No, not necessarily. Let me give you an example. They rolled out, everybody talks about the Apple ad that rolled out in 84 in the Super Bowl. I remember when that ad hit the air. I remember that everybody said, watch the Super Bowl on Sunday. It's going to be the new Apple TV commercial. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be splendiferous. It's going to be just all this and a bag of freaking pork rinds. And I watched it, and while it was whatever it was, some people thought it was brilliant. Some people thought, you know, I don't really know what it means. It was, you know, the woman, you know, running into that 1984 hall, which was, you know, long live Big Brother, and she throws that Olympic hammer. Because that was an Olympic year, 84. It was the year that L.A. would host the games. And it was also the year 1984, which, of course, was the Orwell year, the George Orwell year that predicted a sort of police state. And George Orwell never really meant 1984 would be the year.
Well, what do you mean?
He just needed a year, you know. So he wrote the book in 1948, so he reversed it to 1984. And he said, here is a theory of the future. This is my idea. If we keep going the way we're going, if we kowtow to certain forces in the world, this is how things will wind up. And he gave it that year. Now, the interesting thing about George Orwell's vision is, of course, that not only did it not come true, but we couldn't be further away from anything like that if we tried.
Are you kidding me, man? There are a lot of people I talk to online say we're real close to being on a police state.
Anybody that says that we're close to a police state like that, anybody, I don't care who they are, anyone that says we're close to a police state needs a psychiatrist. Needs a psychiatrist. And I'll say it a third time, needs a psychiatrist.
You kidding me? What? How can you say that?
This country's never been further away from a police state. What we are close to, you want to know what we really are close to? We're close to anarchy. That's what we're close to. We are so paranoid of a, my God, there isn't a group in this country that doesn't talk about, you know, the stripping away of constitutional rights. We got more people yakking about the losses of freedom than, my God, than we would ever be able to lose in our worst nightmare, in our worst hallucinations, to quote Dirty Harry. All right. So, that Super Bowl Sunday came the Apple ad, 1984, swinging a thing through there. Well, guess what it didn't have?
What?
It wasn't humor. It was a serious ad. It was a comment on society. It was a comment on the times. It was a commentary on technology. It was an interesting ad. And it certainly was, without question, identifiable with the Apple Corporation, with the company. So you knew, this is Apple, this is something big. But nowhere in that commercial were they trying to be funny. So my hat's off to that ad. And any other Super Bowl ad that anybody can remember that wasn't trying to do shtick. Because I'm telling you, man, everybody is a comedian now, whether they're funny or not. Everybody is doing jokes now, whether they're funny or not. Everybody's doing shtick now, whether they're funny or not.
Yeah, what about you?
I'm funny.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, thank you. I'm funny so I can do funny. Some people are not funny, they can't do funny. Do you understand, bud? What about me? I gotta kick your...
Just kidding.
All right, we'll take a break now here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Lots and lots of weird-ass stuff to get into. I don't even know if I want to mention... There's a story of a school teacher here in California. This guy, they arrested him. He's a 61-year-old elementary school teacher. Can you fathom a teacher feeding students semen? Yes.
You kid, right?
No, I'm not doing comedy. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth, man, is our bitch. The Phil
That's
Henry Show.
It's a bitch.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is going to make you sick. This is going to make you angry. This is everything that you would not want to be. I'm about to attempt to make you, okay? And I'm sorry.
Why would you want to do it?
Because it needs to be said. Because it's...
Man, I saw this story. I'll kick this guy's ass. I'd beat this guy's face in till his face was ugly, and then I'd beat it in some more until he's good-looking again.
That's how much you beat it in?
Yeah.
You'd beat his face in until he was ugly and then beat it some more until he was good looking again.
Right.
All right. Well, okay. I mean, it sounds reasonable. In South Los Angeles, authorities have arrested a 61-year-old elementary school teacher for allegedly gagging and blindfolding students, putting cockroaches on their faces, and feeding them semen. Mark Berndt, B-E-R-N-D-T, a former third-grade teacher at Miramonte Elementary School, was arrested at his home in Torrance on Monday after a year-long investigation. Berndt is set to be arraigned Wednesday on 23 felony counts of lewd acts on a child. His bail was set at $2.5 million. Berndt faces life in prison if convicted on all charges. He's set to appear in court on Wednesday morning for an arraignment. Police say the crimes occurred between 2008 and 2010 at various locations, including the school and his home. Can we all agree on something now? Can we all agree that no kid goes to no teacher's home? Okay? Can we?
Well, I'm sure they say that.
Well, I mean, if you're a parent, just tell your kids, don't you never go to anybody's house without asking or telling me first. Do you understand?
Well, it's Mr. Berndt's house. I don't care whose house.
You don't go. Well, the school said it was okay. School better tell us. Anyway, the alleged crimes involve boys and girls between 6 and 10. Berndt allegedly told the children they would be playing a game. The investigation began in October 2010 when Berndt turned in a roll of 35-millimeter film to be processed at a CVS in Redondo Beach. Employees at the store found more than 40 photographs of kids in a school classroom with their eyes blindfolded and their mouths covered with tape. They notified police as required by California law. Did you know that, Mr. Berndt? If they allow you a radio in your cell. Do any of you knuckleheads that turn in rolls of film to any kind of a film place to have them processed or otherwise developed, do you understand that people look at that film? you have no reasonable expectation of privacy. That has not, that's not covered under the Constitution of the United States of America. Turning film into the place to get it developed, no reasonable expectation of privacy. This is why, for instance, back in the day, before we had video cameras and before we, I mean, I can't believe I'm this old, but I guess I am, back when it was just film cameras and maybe you wanted to take a picture of your girlfriend nude. Well, guess what? You didn't, because you knew it would go to the place and the guy, he wouldn't give it back to you.
You kidding me? That's unconstitutional right there.
They wouldn't give it back. That's what I heard. I never tried it, you know, not nor that I take any pictures of, you know, my girlfriend nude.
You take any pictures of yourself nude?
Yeah, that's right, Robert. I took full-length pictures of myself nude. Get out of here. No, man. I mean, I heard that no girl that you went out with is going to let you take a picture of her nude. I don't even remember those days as being anything that was even close to that kind of thing ever happening. But the fact is, the word was you can't give them any kind of picture, any kind of film that has any nudity, because they're going to take it and they're going to show it to you and go, ha, 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 look what we found on your roll of film.
Really?
That's what you were afraid of? You're afraid you're going to walk in and go, hi, my name is Mr. Henry. Oh, you're Mr. Henry. Look at the filth, huh? Hey, filth, you know. So you didn't even want to go near that. Hey, look, there's Tina Fey, Robert.
Whatever.
She's in a... in a hair thing commercial. I don't know.
See, they're trying to make her look like she's Cindy Crosby or whatever her name was.
Cindy Crosby?
You're talking about, well, what's her name? Who's the other one? Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford? Cindy Crosby is like 81. I shouldn't say that. No, she's...
I think she's still a very lovely young lady.
Yeah, get out of here. All right, so some of the photos depicted Burnt with his arm around the children... or with his hand over their mouths. Sheriff's Lieutenant Carlos Marquez of the Special Victims Bureau said it was determined the children were given... it was determined the children were given... semen on a spoon or on a cookie. A blue plastic spoon and container found in trash in Burnt's classroom tested positive for semen. And that the DNA matched Burnt. None of the photos showed the students actually eating the... But Marquez said the children reportedly didn't like the taste. There were also photos of children with large, live, Madagascar-type cockroaches on their faces and mouths. What is the illness here? Can we get a psychiatrist to weigh in? Guys that, you know, humiliate and torture children, but not, like, with pliers or anything. It's this kind of thing.
I don't know, man. I think the son had done that to him when he's a kid.
Well, there's no question this guy's been warped since youth, but... And that's the bad thing about all this, man. See, this is the sickest part of it all, man. You take any child that has been sexually abused or has otherwise been humiliated or abused by an adult... And while we feel sorry for that child today, and we would do anything in our power to try to right the wrongs that have been done to that child, someday that child will be an adult, and if that child was not dealt with properly, then guess what? All of a sudden, we turn on that person and we say, "Why, you piece of garbage, I'm going to throw you down into the bottom of this dungeon, and you will never get out again." So that very same person that we had, this is the cycle they talk about, you see?
Yeah, but they ought to be able to rehab it, or how do they say it?
Rehabilitate.
Rehabilitate what? How? I mean, let me ask you a question. You know, where? Where? How? When? What are you talking about?
But a kid, when a kid's been abused.
Oh, really? When a kid's been abused, what happens?
Don't they put the kid like in a doctor or something?
Oh, sure, Robert. Yeah, sure. They got 1,000,001 psychiatrists that are just waiting, ready, willing, and able to... fix a kid that's been brutalized and abused and screwed up by an adult so bad that it's very likely that kid will turn into a sexual offender, his or herself, once they get old enough. Yeah, we got all kinds of doctors for that. And it's free, too. Did you know? Sure, some school districts, some municipalities, some states, but not all. Some of them, the kid's just on his own. And if the parents can't afford it, and if the kid is already in a home where he's being abused or maltreated, I mean, buddy, good luck. So don't give me this stuff about how we care about kids. We better get our heads out of our asses with this stuff. I want a full and complete report within the next 5 minutes here. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show. God.
Thank you.
Phil Henry.
Good. Do you good.
Famous Bill Henry Show.
Wasn't that the most vile thing you've ever heard in your life? Well, anyway, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Now, let's talk about some delicious pies that we're cooking. I'm joking.
Man, I can't even. Well, wait, I could think about a pie.
Get up to the microphone, will you, Robert?
I'm trying to think something right now.
Yeah, I have a pie too, a cream one.
What are you guys doing?
Trying to fix the printer.
That takes one guy to do, okay? What are you, both you guys? Jeez, bud. I mean, what's with you guys?
What?
You're all down under the table here, like you're all...
Oh, yeah, right.
Get out of there. One guy fixed the printer. I need two guys down there with your rear end sticking out.
What, are you all interested in it?
Why, you dirty...
You're all interested in it.
Shut up. All right. That was vile. All right, the big news tonight... Well, the big news tonight, first of all, we gave away a free BSP for the month of February, which is Phil History Month and Black History Month, to Isaac Cervantes, one of our fine Twitterers. Thanks a lot, Isaac. You were the winner in our Marvy drawing. And, man, we had a lot of people to draw from because we not only had the people that liked us on our fan page, we had the people that hashtagged us, hashtag Phil Henry at Phil Henry Show. So we're going to be giving away another BSP for the month of March. And you can certainly begin, you can keep on hashtagging, man, and keep on liking our fan page at Phil Henry, at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS, that's over at Facebook, PHANS, and we'll be doing another drawing at the end of February for a BSP in the month of March. The news, of course, tonight from Florida, big news that Mitt Romney defeated Newt Gingrich in the Florida GOP primary. And I can tell you, it was a powerful night for the governor because he made himself, he basically made himself the man to beat. And what he did was, in his speech, he talked about Barack Obama. He did not talk at all about, hold on, turn off all that rock and roll garbage, boys, because you know I hate that stuff. He did not talk about, his Republican rivals. He did not talk about... any of that nonsense. He talked about the president. He talked about President Barack Obama and what it's going to take to beat him. He made himself the national nominee for the Republican Party. And to that extent, I think it's going to be really hard for Newt Gingrich to climb up that mountain.
There are fewer candidates tonight than when the race began, but three gentlemen are serious and able competitors, and they're still in the race. And I want to congratulate them on another hard-fought contest in this campaign.
But you're saying they're still in a race.
Contests are not easy.
Hold on for a minute. What?
They're still in the race.
He's being classy, man.
Yeah, he's just trying to be nice.
He's being classy. He kicked Gingrich's ass tonight. I don't know what the numbers are. We'll get the numbers for you here in a second.
And they're not supposed to be. As this primary unfolds, our opponents in the other party have been watching, and they like to comfort themselves with the thought that a competitive campaign will leave us divided and weak. But I've got news for them. A competitive primary does not divide us, it prepares us, and we will win.
So, you know, basically what he was saying there, like, you don't know, but I mean, listen, he's saying, I'm the man, you know.
Yeah, what about Newt Gingrich?
What an idiot. Who?
Newt Gingrich. I mean, the other guy.
Newt Gingrich? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Newt Gingrich.
What about him?
Look at Bud. I just got done saying to you, Gingrich's ass got handed to him tonight in Florida. It's over. It's over. Now, I know that there are, you know, there's going to be some op-ed pieces tomorrow that basically say, oh, no, it isn't. Gingrich can get a little more traction. He'll get a little of this and get a little. The Republican Party doesn't want that. The Republican Party wants to rally around a good, strong, solid candidate. They want to be ready. They want to have their guns blazing, baby, by the time they get into the month of August, which is when the convention will be, you know, and they want to get in there and they want to, you know, get ready to do battle with Barack Obama and the Democrats. And the longer that Gingrich drags this thing out, the more the tougher it's going to be. Now, he took a beating in Florida, and his national numbers are sagging. And if you'll pardon the use of the term sag. So. Thank you.
Michael Jordan, sag.
Yes, they
and
did.
When we gather back here in Tampa 7 months from now for our convention, ours.
Yeah! I'm kidding. I don't really care.
Ours will be a united party with a winning ticket for America.
Bullcrap! Who's going to be the vice president?
Years ago, this week, a newly elected President Obama faced the American people, and he said, look, if I can't turn this economy around in 3 years, I'll be looking at a one-term proposition, and we're here to collect.
See, this is all about Obama.
And you know the results. I mean, it's been 35 months of unemployment above 8%. And under this president, more Americans have lost their jobs and more home foreclosures have occurred than under the administration of any other president in history. And in the last 10 days, I met with a father who was terrified that this would be the last night his family would be able to sleep in the only home his son has known.
Under the beautiful palm trees.
I've met seniors who thought these would be the best years of their life.
And they are.
And now they're worried day to day about how to make ends meet. I met Hispanic entrepreneurs who thought they'd achieved the American dream, and now they're seeing it disappear.
And now they're in Mexico.
In a state
and why?
Address,
immigration.
The president actually said these words. He said,
got nothing to do with
it. Remember now how we got here. Don't worry, Mr. President. We remember exactly how we got here. You won the election.
Uh-oh. See what I'm saying? Yeah, man. That's racist, man.
That ain't racist. You idiot.
Leadership. Stuff. Leadership is about racist. Taking responsibility, not making excuses. In another era of American crisis, Thomas Paine is reported to have said, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Well, Mr. President, you were elected to lead. You chose to follow. And now it's time for you to get out of the way.
All right, so there you go. Mitt Romney tonight, or last night, you know, technically, in Tampa, and that's where the Republican National Convention will be. Bud Dickman, your thoughts.
Well, is he going to be the president, or?
No, he's not going to be the president. What, are you kidding?
That's the Republican, you idiot. Or no, I know that, but is he going to be the president one, and then he's got to have a vice president one?
You mean a vice president? Yes.
Okay, who do you think is going to be?
I think it'll be Huckabee.
See, you're copying me. I said that.
No, you... What? I said Huckabee a long time ago.
No, you didn't. I said Huckabee.
Well, I don't think it's going to be Huckabee there. Do you feel good? Both you guys feel like geniuses now?
Who do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. But I don't think it's going to be Huckabee. I don't, you know, forget... I don't... Are you kidding? Huckabee? What's that about? That's... What is that? An oldie but goodie? Huckabee? Who even thinks about Huckabee anymore? Who even cares about Huckabee anymore? He may go for a Southerner. A lot of people are saying this kid Rubio. Is that the guy? Isn't he a senator or something?
Who's that?
This kid down in Florida, this Rubio. He's a young Republican congressperson, I think. A lot of people are saying him. He's a Southern guy. Well, if you call the... Florida is the South. If you get out of Miami, you know, there's an old saying in Florida, the further south you go, the further north you get. Meaning if you head into Miami and the further north you go in Florida, the further south.
I don't understand.
I didn't think you would.
Neither do I.
Well, I don't care whether you guys understand or not. The point is, Rubio maybe won. What about that Bobby Jindal guy?
That the guy from India?
Yeah, that's that Indian guy.
He ain't from India, man. He's from Louisiana.
Oh, well, why'd they say he's from India?
That, I think his parents are from there.
Yeah, man, his family's from there.
I don't know.
We never not had an Indian. Well, I'm not saying an Indian. I'm not being prejudiced.
What difference does it make, bud? You know, we've never had an Indian what? You mean a guy of Indian descent be a vice president?
I think it's kind of weird, don't you?
No, I don't think it's weird. No, I don't think it's weird. All right, look. I don't know who his vice presidential nominee will be. I'm sure that they will vet that beautifully. I can only tell you this. He may do what McCain did in 08. McCain went after a real hardcore conservative. He went after, and of course, he got a woman, so that the Republican ticket looked inclusive the way the Democratic ticket looked inclusive. You had a black man and a white man, and with the Republicans, you had a white man and a white female. So that's kind of the way Republicans are inclusive, you know, I guess. But I'm not casting aspersions at all. But fact is, the Republicans did want to have a ticket that looked inclusive, and they wanted to make sure that they were definitely conservative, that ticket really had a nice, strong conservative vein to it. Now, here's the thing. If anybody remembers our show back in 08, you will remember that I said that when McCain had put Palin on the ticket, he was waving the white flag of surrender, which he was. She's the reason, among many, that he got defeated. And this is what nobody gets out of 2008. Palin sunk that ticket. I know she's popular, and I know people like her, and I know she's got her constituency, but she is not, was not, and never will be a candidate for the masses, unless, of course, at some point, America makes a hard shift to the right, and that becomes the mainstream. But it won't be happening anytime soon. And that was a fatal mistake by the Republicans. They wanted to make sure that they were, you know, that they were paying homage to their conservative constituent. Well, guess what? It got you beat. So how do you feel about that? You feeling good, huh? Feeling good and strong about that? You got that conservative? Because that's what got you beat. Don't give me the stuff about McCain.
Everybody says McCain's too old.
McCain didn't do it. Palin did it. She's the one that killed him. Now, I don't think, and I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. Romney, when he picks a vice presidential candidate, he is not going to pick a real Tea Partier, man. He's not going to go far to the right. He's not going to go and try to make people in the Tea Party side of things happy. He's not going to go and try to make kissy face and makeup and just go to all of them cats. I think he's going to choose somebody a lot more moderate. I could be wrong, but I'm staking my reputation as a talk show host, which is not much.
Yes, you're not really staking much on it.
Exactly. So I don't really have to. You know, I don't care if I lose, because then people will say, oh, you're not a very good talk show host. I'll say, thank you. I take that as a compliment. All right, we'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number here is 877-876-PHIL, of course. We're in our news and information hour, however. But we do want you to keep that number in mind should you need to get in touch with us, if we need to move our car, if for whatever reason you need to ride home from school, if for whatever reason you need us to pick up something at the grocery store on the way home. Why, that number is there for you. If you need, for instance, if you need to contact the police, call 911.
Yeah, that'd be the only exception.
That would be the only exception. Call 911, please, for emergencies, the police, and fire and stuff like that. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We invite you to join us over at philhenryshow.com. After the show, we will have a show log up for you so you can see what it is that you either just heard and forgot, just heard and wished you'd never heard, did not hear, just heard and laughed yourself to the point where you soaked your underwear and had to go clean yourself up and missed the rest of the show. Or just heard and really didn't hear because of the meds that you're on. So any one of those options will be, of course, served by our show log. And then, of course, with a backstage pass, you can listen to the podcast tomorrow of the show, which is without the commercials, without the interruptions that way. Or you can also watch our video archive. You can also go into our archives that go back some 14, 15 years on our website and listen to whole three-hour shows. Why? Because they're all fantastic. Why? Because we don't have to just put three-minute clips on there. Why? Because we're bitching.
Why?
I don't know.
Because we were born that way.
Because we were born that way, exactly. Now, getting back into our news here, ladies and gentlemen. What was your question, Bud?
Yeah, why is Elton John, why do they call Elton John Sir?
Because he got knighted.
They knighted him, man.
What's that mean, knighted?
You get knighted. You know what a knight is, don't you?
Yeah, but that's a guy, like, with an armor and everything.
No, man, that ain't the same thing. They knight guys now. You don't have to have no armor or nothing. They're not a guy now, like how?
Well, they knight a guy if he does stuff that's cool for England. You know, in other words, if he's a great... A knight is like a guy who is a super... defender of England, or the defender of the crown. That's what the knight is.
A defender of the crown? What are you talking about? I thought it's all about if they're in a democracy.
They are in a democracy. They are in a democracy. But the British people, you know, but just because you're in a democracy doesn't mean you hate kings and queens. In England, they have a king and a queen, or they have a queen right now, and they have kings sometimes. And
when are you going to get a king?
They may have a king with King Charles or probably one of the princes. I don't know, Bud. I can't speculate as to when. Queen Elizabeth, she looks like she's in pretty good health. You know, there's some pretty good genes in that family. How old was the queen mum before she...
I don't know. I think she's like 110 or something, 120.
What, 120? Would she eat that yogurt out of Georgia?
The yogurt out of... Get out of here. Anyway, they love the king. They love the queen in England. They think she's great. They want their queen, and they honor her, and she's got to do what they tell her to do, you know.
You got to tell a queen what to do.
That's what they do in England, man. They tell her what to do. They don't tell her what to do, but they basically, she knows the score. She is serving at the pleasure of the British people, and they like having their queen, and that's where that's at. And so then they knight people. It's all very symbolic, man. You know.
Yeah, you probably think they're going to get on a horse and ride around with a sword or some stuff.
That's what they used to do.
They're going
to
do that now, man.
Well, I'm going to see Elton John doing that.
Yeah, right.
You're going to see Elton John on a horse? With a sword? No. So that's what they do. See? Why were you asking?
Because they had a thing on TV where they showed her with a Sir Elton John, everybody.
Oh, that was that Black Sabbath concert. Yeah, that's the Queen's very much a... She loves Black Sabbath.
You kidding?
No. Queen Elizabeth is... How do I say this? She was into Satanism.
Shut up.
All right. News. Why the X Factor bloodbath is good news and hopefully just a starting point. Do you know about this? Well, they fired everybody at X Factor. That is, Simon Cowell fired everybody at X Factor because X Factor didn't have the numbers that they wanted it to have. Simon Cowell wanted to have about 20 million people tuning in a week, and he didn't have anywhere near that, but they still think it was healthy, so whatever. Sometime in recent days and weeks, Simon Cowell realized the X Factor wasn't shaping up to be the singing competition to end all singing competitions. The money was there, as with the support from Fox, but with little more than 12 million viewers tuning in to see who would win a $5 million windfall, it became clear something hadn't clicked with America. How about this? How about we're sick and tired of freaking singing competitions, man. I mean, first of all, the title of the show is a chipmunk blows-a-meter, man. What does that mean, the X Factor?
I don't know.
Doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's supposed to mean you got the X Factor.
Yeah, well, whatever, man. That's so... Ooh, the X... What is that? That is not the kind of title to a show that at least an American audience is going to embrace. Man, we want to know who the champion is. We want the champion, baby. American Idol. Boom. That basically says Super Bowl, championship, you know, World Series. That's what, I mean, you could seriously make a case that American Idol, if it's done nothing else, has got itself right up there with Super Bowl, World Series, Stanley Cup, and NBA championship as one of the big, big things, okay? X Factor, that don't mean diddly-do.
I think it do.
Well, I don't think it did. Get out of here. Think it do. Shape up the X Factor. Steve Jones and Nicole Scherzinger are out on their ass. Anyway, and so on Monday, we learned that he'd cleaned house, gone our stiff host Steve Jones, and the simpering, whimpering judges Nicole Scherzinger and Paula Abdul. Reports that Kyle was looking for more star power next season quickly followed. Mariah Carey's name has already been bandied about as a kind of A-list celebrity that he wants. Hey, how about Howard Stern?
How about Lubba the Bub Sponge?
Who's Lubba the Bub Sponge, man?
Well, what an idiot, man. I mean Bubba the Love Sponge.
Lubba the Bub Sponge, man. Wait till he hears that. What do you mean Bubba the Love Sponge?
Put him on an X Factor.
All right. Let's get Bubba on the X Factor. That would rock the world. Now, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced, of course, by Dan Northcraft and myself, the world-famous Phil Henry. And, of course, our website is philhenryshow.com. We would like you to join us at our website after the show here for our show log and, of course, a backstage pass. Congratulations to Isaac Cervantes, who is the winner of our BSP for Phil History Month, the month of February. So until tonight, guys, and I do mean tonight, we'll see you, all of us here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Have a very pleasant tomorrow.
Phil Henry.
Or today. Today, I meant today.
Yes, today still.